Please pray with me. Dear Lord, I pray that this message, that the words that I speak, that you might use them to help us understand you better, to understand how to live our lives for you better, and to learn how to serve and grow closer as the body of Christ in this place better. Lord, it's you we are here for, and it's to you we praise. Amen. This is our first sermon in our new sermon series called Bless This Home. This is a sermon series that we are drawing from the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are the first few verses of chapter 5 of Matthew, the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Beatitude basically means blessedness. And it's, you know, blessed are the whoever's. And we're just going to focus on four of those over the next 4 weeks. Today I'm going to talk about blessed are the pure of heart. And we're going to, as we talk about these Beatitudes, as we talk about these sayings of Jesus, as he calls people blessed, and we're going to unpack that, and we're going to talk more specifically about how do we learn, how do we take these sayings of Jesus and apply them to our lives so that our homes might be blessed. And not just so that we, family members, moms, dads, kids, might be blessed within our homes, but so that our homes might be a blessing to everyone, to the community, to our church, to the world. And the Beatitudes, the sayings of Jesus, really the whole sermon, is more broad, really. There's a lot of wisdom and truth there, but we're going to try to zero in a little bit and say, what can we learn so that our families might be blessed? How are we to raise our kids? How are we to function as families? And I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good series. But the verse for today comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We'll talk about the see God here in a little bit. But we live in a world where it's not really that fun of an idea to be pure in heart. Pretty much everything we see, or most things that we see out in the world, almost have the opposite expectation or impact. It's hard to be pure in heart. What even does it mean, pure in heart? It's impossible for us to be pure in heart, really. That's the standard that Jesus set. Pure in heart. He wants us to be pure in heart. And it's only those who are pure in heart that get to see God. If we're followers of Christ, and we want to serve Christ, and we're committed, and we're dedicated, shouldn't we be pure, as Christ is pure? But without Christ, there is no such thing as a pure heart. Outside of Christ, it is impossible to be pure. Why is that? Well, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. The Lord searches the heart and examines. He's looking for pure hearts. But Jeremiah says, the heart of a person, of a human, of a being, is hopeless pretty much outside of Christ. We cannot be pure. It's beyond us. In Ephesians, Paul says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. Well, that sounds familiar. Doesn't that sound like society today, pretty much? Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. We're desensitized to what it even means to be pure. We don't even have a desire to try to be pure. Because what's the point? We can't, I mean, it's not only is it impossible for us, there, most of the time we see no value in it. We see no value in being pure of heart. Jesus himself said, the pure in heart will see God. But if we don't make any effort to be pure in heart, are we missing something? What aren't we seeing? What of God aren't we seeing? Can we see better? A theme that's going to continue throughout this series is this: the difference between being Christian or being in a Christian family and being a Christ-centered home. And there's a difference there. Maybe a subtle difference. You're thinking, well, it sounds like the same thing to me. There's a difference there. If you ask 82% of the population, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. Absolutely. I'm from a Christian family. But then ask the question, do you live in a Christ-centered home? In other words, is Christ at the center of your life, of your family, of your finances, of your employment, of your checkbook, of your calendar? Is Christ in the middle of all of it? I don't know that none of us in this room could really answer that question positively and with confidence that we are a Christ-centered home. But we are to be a Christ-centered home. To be a Christ-centered home is to have a home full of people with pure hearts. The psalmist says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands, the psalmist says in Psalm 119. Even he says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? Well, man, I tell you, I thought it was tough being a kid when I was growing up 30, 40 years ago. It's tough for kids now. It is impossible to be pure, to live out purity in your life today. So, you know, we've got some kids here. You guys are growing up a crazy world. There are temptations behind every click of a button, on every channel on the TV. You can't look somewhere and not be distracted or be tricked or be led away. We can't do it. Only Christ can do it. Here's the family version. I changed a few words here for our families. Because really, if we're going to be pure, if we're going to have pure hearts, if we're going to raise our kids to have pure hearts, we have to do it as a family. Here's Psalm 119, a little bit changed. How can our family stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. We will seek you with all our hearts. Do not let us stray from your commands. That sounds a little bit easier. When we do it and commit to doing it and look at it from the perspective of a family. When it's just us, I mean, I'm hopeless. I can't make a good decision by myself to save my life. But my family, if my family comes alongside me, we can do it. Especially when Christ is right there in the center of the family. But that's really what we want. We want to create a culture of purity. Man, that sounds odd, doesn't it, just saying it? We want to create a culture of purity. That goes against almost everything the world says. That is so politically incorrect. We want to create a culture of purity. How do we do that? Well, the first step, get your own heart right. Moms, dads, patriarchs, matriarchs of your families, if you want your kids or your grandkids to learn how to have a pure heart, we've got to get our own heart right. What do we take into our minds and our hearts willingly every day that causes us to be impure? All the time, we are inundated by filth and wretchedness all around us. Yet we as a society have somehow decided it's okay. It's just normal. It's just the way it is. What about the movies? Well, think about the last movie you watched. Was that a movie that promoted purity? Or is that or was the content or the theme or the graphic nature or whatever it is, did it somehow tarnish your purity? My wife and I went and saw last night The Shack. Great, fantastic movie. I would recommend it to anybody. And that, actually, that's a pretty pure movie. Honored God, spoke truth, was inspirational. I think God smiled on that movie. Yet probably if I think back the previous 10 or 20 movies that I watched, not so much. We've gotten in the habit, and we almost don't think about it. We are willing, more than willing, and regularly hand over our hard-earned money to buy and be entertained by sin. We don't even think about it. It's automatic. We just do it because that's just what you do. But are we counting the cost of that? If we bring in the filth, unedited, unfiltered, into our life, what is that costing us? How is that keeping us from being pure, having pure hearts? It may be costing us much more than we realize. For it's Proverbs 4 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The heart is so important. God knew this. Jesus knew this. Jesus said, refer to the heart all the time. He said, if don't worry about, if you hate somebody, then you have committed murder in your heart. If you look lustfully after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. The heart matters. The heart is important. Yet we usually follow the advice that the world gives us. When we have a big decision or we're looking at making a big life change, what do people often say? I just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. You'll get where you need to go. That is the worst advice there possibly could be. Earlier we read from Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful. The heart is wretched. The heart has no hope of being pure and making a good decision. It will lead you down the wrong path every single time. So don't follow your heart. What should you do? You should follow the word of God. That's tough. Get your own heart right. The next step or point in creating a culture of purity in our homes is to parent to the heart. When we raise our kids or our grandkids, we have influence on young people. We have to teach them that the heart matters. We have to teach them and train them to live their life and make decisions and relate to each other with pure hearts, to realize the value of having a pure heart. Because our kids are just like us. Their hearts are deceitful. Their hearts are wretched. They're quick to make a bad decision. How many of us have punished our kids? Or we have those of us who have two kids. They're fighting. Go apologize to your brother. Go apologize to your sister. All right. They go over there. I'm sorry I pushed you, you big crybaby. Okay, they did what we asked them to do, right? They went and apologized. They followed the law. But did they really mean it? Was their heart there? Or was there a problem with their heart? If we want our kids to grow up and make good decisions and not do what I did, which was turn 18, go to college, and forget everything I ever learned in church and go crazy, we have to teach them to guard their heart and teach them to live their lives like the heart matters. We have to teach them to have pure hearts, not just follow the law, not just obey. What about the third one? This may be the most difficult one. If I haven't made you a little uncomfortable with the first two, this one will probably get you. Pursue perfect purity of the heart. Pursue perfect purity of the heart. Wait, Pastor Mike, no one's perfect. I've said it already today. We are hopeless. We can't be, we have impure hearts. We can't be pure. So why are you telling me to do something I can't do? Pursue perfect purity. You know, if we teach our young folks and if we ourselves commit to living and making a priority to have pure hearts, and we set the bar here and we aim here, we might end up somewhere here. If we aim low, we're going to hit low. But if we go high, if we aim high, we're probably going to hit somewhere higher than if we aim low. That's what God asks of us. He doesn't ask for perfection. He asks that we strive for perfection. It says in Ephesians, "But among you, there must not be even one hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." What was that? There must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a little bit. Not even a tiny little itty bitty teensy witsy little amount of sexual impurity, sexual immorality. There must not be any. You probably are like me. You're thinking of all the things that you missed the mark way on that one. We are helpless, but yet that is the standard. When we have pure hearts, God helps us have pure hearts. We can't do it on our own. But just not a hint, not even a little bit. There was a boy, 12-year-old boy. He wanted to go see a PG-13 movie. He said, I'm 12. Let me go see this PG-13 movie. So it's not that bad. It's just a little bit bad. Just a few cuss words. Just a little bit of violence. And his mom said, okay. He said, but first I want to make you some brownies. And the boy loves brownies. I love brownies. I'll wait for that. So she gets ready to make the brownies, and she goes out in the backyard, and she gets a spoon. She gets just a little bit of dog poop out of the yard. She brings it in the house. She makes a brownie. She mixes the dog poop in the brownies and bakes it, puts it in the oven. It comes out, and it smells pretty good. The boy's ready, and he sits down, and she puts the brownies there and says, here are your brownies. He says, but I got to tell you first, there's a little bit of dog poop in there. And he says, what? I can't eat. I'm not going to eat that. That's terrible. What are you trying to do to me? I'm not. What? It's just a little bit of dog poop. Not that much. Just a little bit. Just like there's just a little bit of bad stuff in that movie. If we let a little bit, if we tolerate a little bit, then we miss the mark completely. Perfect purity. Man, that's a tough standard. But anything less than perfect purity is impurity. We don't raise our kids to be impure, do we? We don't raise our kids to be a little bit tainted, a little bit sinful. Perfect purity is what we're after. And when we can raise our kids up, and when we can embrace that idea of perfect purity, of pure hearts, when we strive to have pure hearts, what did Jesus say? Blessed are those who are pure of heart, for they will see God. What does that mean, see God? It means when we don't allow all the toxic stuff into our minds and our hearts and our lives and our families, then we are free to see the world and see God like He is. We see rainbows and flowers and sunsets differently. We see the work that we're doing in this church, and we meet new people, and we see God in them. We see Christ in them more clearly. We see the world like God sees the world. We see God in everything and everyone. We don't have the filth clogging up our vision, or a screen, a dirty, sinful visor on all the time. When we are pure of heart, when we commit to striving for that, God says, you will see me. You will see what I'm doing in the world. You will see how blessed you are. You will see the world and the kingdom of God in a way that will blow your mind. I want to see God like that. Don't you? If we want to see God like that, we need pure hearts. Jesus said so. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. May God help us to purify our hearts each and every day. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you are an awesome God. You have given us amazing, beautiful hearts. We are wonderfully made in your image. Lord, help us as we raise our kids, as we interact with this world, as we make decisions, help us to do so in a way that honors you. Help us to turn our back on the world, to separate ourselves from the expectations of the world and the trappings of the world. And may we allow you to purify our hearts. May you help us to raise our kids with pure hearts. And may all the people who see us and talk to us and watch what we're doing in the world realize that having a pure heart is a good thing.